Hi, this is Gabrielle Hayes, and you are listening to the Cat Dog Fish Cast, our podcast. I'm here with Dr. Chris Tufnell, my partner in crime.
Hi, Gab.
And the Cat Dog Fish Cast is all about lovely things that we can do to be better pet parents. I am the proud owner of two very crazy crossbreed kitties, although I've had dogs in the past as well.
And I'm the proud owner of two very crazy crossbreed dogs and two gorgeous cats, one of which is the same type as yours, Maine Coon Moggy Cross.
Yes, yeah. And we both own fish.
And we both got fish.
Let's not forget that. Okay, so today we are going to take a look at some of the interesting pet tech businesses that have come across our radar. This is a recurring feature which we do because we are interested in it. We think there's a lot of innovation happening in tools and tricks to be a better pet parent, some that are completely idiotic as well. So we are doing a very unscientific view.
Yeah, this is not a review. We haven't got the products here, and
we haven't touched them, we haven't felt them. So all we're doing is giving our very biased opinion based on what we know about them from their website, based on what we've read about them online, and just basically our very judgmental opinion. So
that's what we're here for.
The one we're going to start with is called iFetch. It's a US business, and it's an automatic ball thrower for your dog.
So this is for when people are at McDonald's, clearly, because they're busy doing on their keep fat regime. And so this thing is throwing balls for their dogs. I mean, just honestly, throw it yourself. I mean, I genuinely have a friend who's got one of these. I think the dogs will play with it when you're busy playing with them with it. I'd be fascinated if there are dogs that actually want to keep putting the ball in the iFetch machine and having it ping out. And maybe there are.
If you're not there.
Yeah, exactly, if you're not there. But most of the sort of ball games that we sort of take part in, firstly, the dog returns to you because it's bringing it back to you as somebody in the pack higher than mm-hmm. them. And so it's not just bringing it back to you endlessly to have it thrown, although there are dogs that are nuts and do that all the time. And it's about interacting with your dog. And to me, this is just like sticking your kids in front of the telly. It's just like, I can't be asked to throw the ball for you. So I've bought you this machine that's going to throw it for you. And now I can go to McDonald's.
Yes, I agree with you that it is sort of the height of outsourcing care for your dependent by not even engaging in the most basic fundamentals. What about people who are disabled or who don't have the physical strength because of a disability but still want to have dogs?
That's an excellent point, and I absolutely stand corrected on that front, because yes, if you do struggle to throw a ball, then having some assistance to be able to throw the ball for the dog, it would be really helpful. But I still think that a disabled person would want to be there with the dog using this device to propel the ball. So it's actually just doing that for them. It's not so that they can just ignore the dog and leave it to play with itself.
And you worry about this, and particularly in the videos that we see on it, that it's really just like the dog is just going to play with it themselves with no human in sight.
Well, I'd be really interested to know how long they will do that for, and whether it would give them enough entertainment for enough time. There seem to be a few of the products that we've looked at that mm-hmm. all seem to be about making it easier for people to have animals without troubling them. And then you think, well, why do you have an animal in the first place? You know, I think people
it's
should
kind of like sending your children to boarding school. Why have them in the first
absolutely.
Place?
Absolutely. No, absolutely right. I mean, that if you don't want to have a dog because you can't be bothered to do all the things that are related to having a dog, don't have a dog. It's as simple as that. Yeah. And if you find it boring having a dog because you have to walk them, have them on a lead and stuff, and you'd rather go to the gym, then that's fine. But again, don't have a dog. So I'm yet to be convinced by this. The other thing which struck me on this, and there was another device that we might look at for cats, is that I just wonder what it would do for the animal's mental health.
Why?
Well, because all of us are aware, playing with an animal, when the animal starts to lose enthusiasm for the game or whatever, and you don't, you just think, oh, I won't throw the ball anymore, or I'll stop the game, or we'll change the subject, as it were, and move on. This thing will relentlessly chuck the ball out. So the dog thinks, oh, I'm going to return the ball to that hole in the top of the machine, and the machine just goes ping and pings it out again. And that, you know, it doesn't end the game because we're not there to end the game or to notice it.
So the dog will just keep doing it even if it doesn't want to do it anymore?
I don't know, but that's what concerns me, is that this, you know, it's not got a, that this thing hasn't got a brain. It just throws the ball out. And if part of the dog's thing is, I want to bring the ball back, and the ball keeps being thrown out, I'm just not sure.
It's interesting. We don't know if it has a timer. Done our research, but if it doesn't have a timer, it's a really interesting thing to think about. Okay, let's move on to the...
By the way, sorry, we just should say before, have a look at the iFetch site, because they are definitely being innovative with entertainments for dogs specifically. They've got an iDig, which is very much a thing for allowing dogs to dig. You will have seen them doing this with their bed anyway. And they've got another sort of game called an iFetch Frenzy, where the ball falls out of a different hole each time. And it's more of a game than a thing. So they're obviously thinking about it. They're working really hard at doing stuff to entertain dogs. I think that it should be stuff that entertains dogs with you there.
Right. Okay. Let's move on to the Bath Buddy.
Now this,
which is a U.S. business as well, and
just
again,
as well.
There's no bias here, but as far as U.S. businesses go, but it just, I think they do a better job at search engine optimization. Okay, so tell us about the Bath Buddy.
So this thing is to entertain your dog by distraction, so that you can get on and bath it. They seem to be smearing smooth peanut butter on it, but it may not be smooth peanut butter. It may be something else, onto this thing that you stick onto the side, so onto the tiles around the bath or onto the side of the shower or whatever. Now, the first thing that struck me is, why bother with the device? Why not just smear peanut butter on the tiles? You're going to clean the bath, one presumes, before you hop in it, unless you're a really grubby person. And why not just smear it directly on the wall? So it seemed to be a device. I mean, it's clearly not going to be that expensive, but I sort of wondered why you needed it. The distraction idea is great, but you still have to train your animal to tolerate a bath. I mean, I can't believe that there won't be dogs that think having a bath is so horrendous that I'm just not interested in jumping in the bath to have that peanut butter or whatever it is. So maybe useful, and it's another bit of kit that you've got to store, and it's another bit of kit you've got to wash.
It's another bit of plastic.
Exactly.
That's what worries me with all this stuff, is it's all just more plastic. Okay, but...
Yeah. If you like having bits of kit for your dogs and you've got to have everything, then you'll buy it. It's a stocking filler.
It's a stocking filler, but it's not. You may as well just smear some peanut butter on the wall.
On the tiles.
Okay. So then we are going to move on to the Ruffit dog carrier. So that one is...
Yeah, so this is interesting.
A backpack to carry your dog.
Same concerns as I had. If you've heard our podcast talking about the... seatbelt thing that held dogs upright. Again, that would be my biggest concern about this. So, where dogs have not evolved to have their spines in the upright position, and this is having to have the dog in an upright position. So, I'm yet to be convinced. I think an orthopedic specialist may have something to say about it. There may be a breed difference. I don't think for short distances it's likely to be a problem at all, but I can see people thinking that this is the way that you carry a pet dog all the time. Whereas actually, if they were dangling in a more horizontal position, then I might be sort of happier that there was less concern about it. In theory, it's the dog's clearly restrained, and it's sort of therefore allowing you to do various things whilst you're carrying the dog. And yeah, maybe that's a good
idea.
But
it just looks unnatural. It looks like they're, I don't know. But from your medical perspective, your medical opinion is more about the fact that it's an unnatural position for any dog.
Yes.
In very short times, it's not going to hurt them, but it could. It's not really appropriate to use on a habitual, well, ongoing basis.
Absolutely. I mean, the concern for me looking at the video is that the animal's being sort of scrunched up a bit in the bottom of it. So its spine, instead of, if you think of it standing horizontally,
yep,
its spine being sort of curved downwards towards its tummy, it's being bent over. And then if it bounces up and down, there will be forces on that spine, which could cause problems with discs.
Okay.
So just like we get problems because we stand on 2 feet and we don't do enough exercise and we do silly things by lifting heavy weights, we get problems with our discs and disc lesions. Dogs do too. Now, they're unusual, but they do occur in certain breeds, but they just could become more usual with the use of this sort of device.
Okay. I think they look strange. Okay, on to Frolicat, which is interactive cat toys, one of which is a laser. I've seen these, and for dogs too, but you know, it's the red laser. You put it on the wall.
Yep.
They chase it. I do it with my cats sometimes, and they definitely are into it sometimes, but I have to say I feel guilty about it because they're chasing something that they can never catch. They can never, it's
sure.
just, so there's like no satisfaction for them. They never actually catch it. And is that then cruel? Maybe I'm just overthinking it.
No, I don't think you are. I think this comes back.
And these are very popular, these laser toys.
Yeah, no, I think this comes back to the mental health issues I was talking about potentially from using something that is an endless game.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, this doesn't have that satisfaction of pouncing on something and catching it. One of our experts is brilliant at sort of talking about enriching cats' environment and playing with toys and that they can chase and catch and pounce on. I've done this too. Let's face it, it's a sort of YouTube moment, isn't it? It's quite amusing to watch the cat chasing something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
One should say that the normal pointers that people probably use, as long as you're not shining it in the animal's eyes, probably do no harm, but they would do harm if they were shone in the eyes. What these people say, the manufacturers say, is that they've used a low intensity laser, so it shouldn't cause any harm. I'd be concerned on the mental health front that this game doesn't appear to end again. You know, it doesn't seem to start and end in that when you're interacting yourself with the cat, you can see the cat starting to become irritated or bored.
Uh-huh.
by the game, whereas this machine is doing it and isn't making that judgment. So I'd be a bit concerned about that. I don't want to damn it completely, but I would rather people were interacting with their animals. And as far as enriching the environment at home, there have been other things that we've seen. And we'll probably have on further podcasts where you do sort of simulated hunting where you're hiding bits of food in certain. Do you remember what that one was called? Little sort of cloth mice, really, that
yeah,
you were hiding
remember.
Around.
We'll find it. We'll
hiding
find
around
out.
The flat or whatever while you go out. And that to me seems like a really good idea because they go off hunting.
Yep.
They have to find this thing. When they find it, they get a little reward. And so that looked
very
like a low great
tech,
idea.
But very
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you could probably do that yourself with old socks and things, just hide stuff around the place. But enriching the cat's environment, hugely important. I'm not sure that this device is the thing to do it with.
Okay. That leads us on to it's also a lot of these are have been crowdfunded via Kickstarter. So there's a lot of innovation happening in pet tech and. Unfortunately, a lot of it does seem to be about automating the human-animal, the elements that make up the human-animal bond, which is not a great byproduct, to your point about don't have an animal.
So I can tell you, are you going to move on to the Licky Brush?
I am. It's that is where I'm headed next, the Licky Brush, which is created by a company called PDX Pet Design, and they have created a couple of other products like it. But the Licky Brush, I mean, Chris, why don't you tell our listeners what the heck that's all about?
So this is, I think this looks great, actually. This is something you can hold in your mouth that has sort of silicone teeth on it, I suppose. And you can then simulate lick your cat. Now, I think stroking it or using a groomer is probably simulating licking your cat as far as the cat's concerned.
I brush my cats all the time.
Exactly. And I'm not overly convinced that the cat needs to see something dangling from your head to to stroke and lick it. And actually, I suppose it brings an interesting thought. You know, should we be trying to persuade cats and dogs that we are their equal and on a level peg with them, or that we are sort of higher up in the hierarchy in their pack? Now, for safety's sake,
well, but hang on, let me just interject. We know that cats know that they are the highest in the hierarchy,
that they are,
end of.
Well,
so there is no argument there whatsoever.
Absolutely. This leads me to, when we're in the surgery, animals, dogs will come in emulating their owners. So idiot animal, idiot dog, idiot owner. And it really is fascinating. You get aggressive owner, aggressive dog, and lovely, lovely, sweet dogs usually belong to lovely, lovely people. So, but cats, however, come in and look at you and they go, look who I own. look who I've got stuck with owning. So, cats are very, obviously, very different relationship with us. Cats have staff. Dogs have owners.
Oh, and that is so, so true.
And but I'm not convinced they want their staff to be completely on a level with them. I think the Licky is an amusing product. I think it would be entertaining to use for a bit. It's all going to get grubby and nasty. You're not going to want to put it in your mouth. It's not terribly hygienic to be putting it in your mouth. No doubt it goes through the dishwasher like everything else. And I think you could do it. You'll probably end up using it in your hand in the future, and the cat will still love it.
But you could just
lick your cat.
I really think that's not quite an option. Your personal life really does not need to be discussed during our podcast. Anyway, but there's no scientific basis that says that if your head and mouth near your cat when is any better than brushing the cat normally.
No, there isn't at the moment. But this is an interesting point. There could be, though, and it would be really interesting to see through a decent behavioural analysis whether cats prefer to be groomed by someone using something around their mouth and use something around their hand. I think, I mean, we can guess what the results might be, but you could do the science.
But it hasn't been done.
No, okay. Not that we know.
I will continue to use my.
However, as they say here, licking is believing. So
it's
do order one. They are only $25.
Okay. Again, we have no relationship with any of these businesses. Nope. Let me just say.
But if you do get a Licky Cat, please, please, please send us pictures of you using it and tell us what your cat
let
thinks.
Us know. Email me, Gabrielle@catdogfish.com. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We would love to hear it. And if you've got a product that you think we should be discussing or talking about, let us know that too. Thanks again. That is it for today. Chris, always a pleasure to see you and hear your dulcet
pleasure.
Tones.
Gab, thank you.
And we'll see you again soon.
Bye.
For information on how to take expert care of your pet, go to catdogfish.com.